reminder of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And some of the things that were mentioned sort of wonderfully dovetail in what we're going to be looking at in this session. This subject is of great interest to me because when I was much younger and was sort of caught up with the whole idea of martial arts, there was always the idea that you enrolled in a school with a teacher. And that teacher would instruct according to his own style so that the students produced and acted and functioned in a way that was identifiable with their instructor, with their teacher. We are going to look at this moment for this time at the thought of Christ our teacher. And he, when he was here in this scene, many referred to him as teacher or master. And the word master in the New Testament is used five different ways. And the Lord Jesus Christ was called the good master. Nicodemus was called the teacher, the master in Israel. But the five ways the word is used is one, it's a teacher, one who instructs. That sometimes is also translated rabbi. Rabboni or rabbi is the teacher, one who instructs. The word master is also described in the New Testament as Lord. It is the one who exercises power. And so master is used in that way as well. Third way that the word master is used is despot. You know, in all of our English words, in the English translation of the Bible, these are all translated master. But if you look a little deeper and you explore it more, despot is another usage of the word, one who has absolute ownership and uncontrolled power. Another variant of the word guide is one who, a master is the one who guides. And what a wonderful thought as we think of the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He is our guide as well. And the last use of in the New Testament is with regards to when they were on the ship and it says the master of the ship. It means the one who controls the helm. He was called and referred to as the master. Now this idea of being a master, this idea of taking up and having students in order to instruct them, it was a prestigious position. It was a position that in Jesus' day, men desired and aspired to. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, the Lord Jesus was very concerned about this idea of masters. The scribes and the Pharisees took it upon themselves that they thought it was to be honored when they would be walking through the streets and someone would cry out to them, Rabbi, Rabbi, or Master, Master. It was a position that was aspired to because it brought a certain amount of prestige and recognition to the one who was called Master. They, in order to boost themselves, would do all sorts of things. They would change their garments. They would put on different things so that people would look at them and realize and say, oh, they're so and so and so. They desired the uppermost places in the synagogues. They loved to be referred to in the marketplace as rabbi. And Jesus starts out and makes this assessment. He says, do not be called a rabbi. Do not be called a master. For there is one who is your master. It is Christ. I want to look at that verse in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. He says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. That is another way the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us. We had him as our Savior, we had him as our Shepherd, and now we have him as the Master. We want to just look at that and to just appreciate a little bit of what that means. One of the things that's interesting about, and any of us who had an opportunity to teach, and not just, you know, in the scriptures, but to teach in any capacity, there is always the challenge that you must be able to demonstrate the activity that you're trying to instruct. My son is a physical education instructor, and one of the things he has to do is not only teach them a particular task, but he has to demonstrate it. And one of the wonderful things that we recently had in our conference in New Jersey was that when we think about the Lord Jesus and his as the instructor, the teacher, it tells us that he wasn't just a teacher, like I might be, a teacher who tells you what to do, but I don't do it myself. No, he was one who did and then taught. In Acts chapter 1, we have that thought. It says in Acts chapter 1, this I am recording, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Both to do and to teach. And we all know that there is discouragement that comes when I tell you to do something, but I'm not doing it myself. And that was never the case with the Lord Jesus. Whatever he instructed, whatever he gave instructions to his disciples, to his own, whatever he's going to give you and me to do, he is going to also model it for us. He is going to demonstrate how that is to occur. And so when we think of this idea of the master with his pupils, the master with his disciples, as we look at the Lord Jesus, we're going to see that he, the student, became the teacher. We're going to look at a couple of verses in the scriptures that show that this blessed one, he enrolled and he was one who was instructed. And how that qualifies him then to now also instruct you and I so that we might live and move through this scene at his direction. And there might be a witness and a testimony that emanates from our lives that we have been with Jesus. And that's really the plan in which you want to take. It starts with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is described in Isaiah chapter 50.